On his knees at the hearth, he tore bark from a log, struck his flint against his dagger, and blew on the sparks. Flames flickered, and he tossed a block of peat onto the fire. Behind him, a draught from somewhere rippled the Ambry's navy curtains. The windows and door remained firmly shut. No wind had come down the chimney. He crossed to the Ambry and pushed the curtain aside. A panelled door, lower and not as wide as most in the castle, was visible next to the shelves. He stroked the polished wood. This connecting door must lead directly into Ariana's chamber. The wall it stood against was to the right. He slid the bolt free, and without a snick of noise, pushed the door open. Soundlessly, he stepped through. Golden drapery hid his path, and he swished the curtain back. Ariana slept in a large four-poster bed, her pale blonde lashes glimmering in the fire's glow. She was such an innocent. He knelt at her side and smoothed his knuckles across her soft cheeks. Everything about her touched him, from her absolute devotion to those she loved to her feisty and fierce nature. He breathed deep, and her sweet vanilla scent swirled seductively around him. From the moment he'd carried her into Xenia's cottage and she'd burrowed against him, he'd experienced an overwhelming sense of rightness, one that had grown over the years from strength to strength. Being with her, holding her, was all he desired. Hell, how on earth was he meant to court another woman when she was the one he wanted? During his recent trip to see his chief in the king's cells, he'd actually attempted to court Rory's cousin, Annie MacLeod, while at Holyrood. When Annie had instead handfasted with Colin MacLean, relief had poured through him. Even though the MacLean warrior was his adversary, he couldn't begrudge either of them their desired union. If only Ariana wished for what he did, but in the 4 years since her arrival, she'd never once changed her course of mind. Her aspiration was to return to her father, a dream he couldn't and wouldn't deny her.
James.
Ariana pushed her arms out from under the covers, dislodging the tartan blanket. Her night rail remained loose at the top, the ties partially undone, and exposing the upper swell of her breasts.
Don't leave me, James. You promised, should I ever have need of you, you'd come, she murmured in her sleep.
I'm here.
He hauled the blanket back up to her neck. Her lush, creamy skin would send him insane if he saw any more of it.
James?
She blinked her eyes open and sat up, the dratted tartan slipping to her waist.
How did you get in here? She searched the room. The door's bolted.
We have adjoining chambers, and there's a connecting door inside your ambry that leads to mine.
He motioned toward her chest.
Night rail is loose.
Oh!
She yanked the ties together and closed the gap.
What a stroke of good luck to have adjoining rooms.
William wouldna think so.
Then we'd best not tell him.
Smiling, she wriggled across and patted the mattress.
Sit with me. Now we finally have a decent chance to talk.
Aye, we do.
He towed off his boots, propped his sword beside her bed where it would lay within easy reach, and sat beside her. They'd talk, and then he'd leave. She was a craving he had to set aside, for both their sakes.
You have a rather serious expression on your face.
She plumped her pillow and propped it behind her.
"'Tis not. I said we'd speak about your desire to seek out your Cunningham ancestors, and the conditions you'll need to agree to when I take you. I will not allow you to speak to them, to divulge your secret to another, but if you know of a safe place to keep your letter where your father might find it, then I'll gladly aid you."
"'I'm sure I can come up with somewhere.' She popped a kiss on his cheek. "'Thank you. I'm very grateful for all you do for me.'
"'You shouldna kiss me.'
He palmed the place where the heat of her kiss still lingered.
"'That wasn't a kiss.'
She leaned in again, and this time licked his lower lip.
"'Neither was that, but I'm getting closer.'